The following Stealing the Mind Bible Conference presentation is by Kent Hovind and is entitled 100 Scientific Reasons Evolution is Stupid, Part 2.
Again, teaching on more reasons why evolution is stupid. We probably could do a series, Bill, of 20 hours on this topic. But we only got one more hour, so we'll get done as quick as we can here. Why evolution is stupid? We left off in the last session talking about DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, the most complex molecule in the universe. To say that formed by chance is just plain stupid. But let's suppose it did. Chromosomes are the most complex molecule there is, and penicillin only have two of these chromosomes, these DNA strands. So they must have evolved first, and then slowly over millions of years, they got some more chromosomes and turned into a fruit fly. They have eight. Very slowly over millions of years, they developed more chromosomes and became a tomato, or possibly a housefly. They're twins. It's very tough to tell the difference between these two. And then slowly evolved into a pea, and then over millions of years it became a bee. Now there you can see the similarity. P, B, very similar. Okay. And slowly over millions of years we had triplets. Either the possum, the redwood tree, or the kidney bean came first, I'm not sure. Tough to tell them apart, folks. They all have 22 chromosomes, you know. There's, let's see, possum, tree, kidney bean. Let's see, possum, kidney bean, evolution. And then slowly, slowly, over millions of years, we evolved enough chromosomes to be a human. Here we are with 46. If we can just get two more, we're going to be a tobacco plant. I know some already smell like it. Sometimes I'll get on the elevator and I'll say, man, you're evolving. You're way ahead of me. And maybe someday we'll have enough to be a carp. And it probably won't happen in my lifetime, but maybe star date 34-95-72, we'll have enough chromosomes to be a fern. Why don't they talk about the chromosome number as order of as evidence for evolution? Mm-hmm. They tell the kids, 20 kinds of amino acids, that's true, make up all the proteins. It says, explain how this fact supports the idea that all life shares a common ancestor. But that's like saying, all the books in the library have the same 26 basic letters. Now, that's a good point. You see, boys and girls, that proved they all evolved from Morse code. No, teacher, if somebody wrote those books, okay? That's just stupid to say that the fact that we all have 20 amino acids is proof we're related. See, the reason God designed it where we all have the same basic amino acids that make up the proteins is so that the brown cow can eat the green grass and give the white milk and I can drink it and get the blonde hair. See, if we didn't have all the same basic building blocks, we could only eat each other. Think about it. Well, let's talk about evolution. I believe the hamster evolved first. They only live about 2 years. And then slowly, over, this is based on longevity now, slowly evolved into a cat and then a canary. They're very similar. You can see the lifespan. And then a dog and a chimpanzee. They're slow. You know, this is the real order of evolution. Humans are near the top. Turtles actually live slightly longer than humans, so they're probably the most evolved species on Earth. Or maybe we should arrange animals in order based upon their top speed. The peregrine falcon is the most evolved animal in the world. Below that's the cheetah, then the antelope, the coyote, the ostrich, all the way down to the garden snail, 0.03 miles an hour in high gear. Or maybe we should arrange the animals in order of how they evolve based upon their gestation period, how long they're pregnant. Elephants are the most evolved. They're pregnant 21 months. Hamsters only half of a month, 15 days. Maybe we should arrange the animals in order based upon their body weight. The blue whale's the most evolved. The shrew, at 1/4 ounce, the least evolved animal. I mean, they just make up these charts to say how we evolve. They say the humans and the orangutans are 96% similar in their DNA. And that proves a common ancestor 15 million years ago. Well, now, hold on a minute. Barney Maddox was the leading genome researcher on the DNA project. He said, folks, the difference between the human and his nearest relative, the chimpanzee, is at least 1.6%. He said that doesn't sound like much, but calculated out, that's a gap of 48 million nucleotides, and a change of only 3 nucleotides is fatal to an animal. There is no possibility of change. They used to think we were 98.4% similar. They've now discovered it's actually 5% difference. So there are hundreds of millions of differences between humans and chimpanzees. His nearest relative, the chimpanzee, that's stupid, okay? Now, some of my ancestors swung by their necks, no question. But none of them swung by their tails, okay. Now, arranging animals in some kind of fictitious order doesn't prove anything. All they're doing is doing this on paper. Even if they find them in order, it wouldn't prove anything. I mean, if I get buried on top of a hamster, does that prove he's my grandpa? Even order of burial wouldn't prove anything. But I've been doing research on the evolution of the fork. I've put together fragmentary evidence for a long time. I believe over millions of years, probably the spoons evolved. It's quite obvious. You can see the difference there. And I believe the knife evolved to the spoon and then slowly became a four-tined fork. And if you break one off, it's a three. And if you break another one off, it's a two, and then a wonk. Okay? But I felt like I knew I had it right, but I felt like I had a missing link. I found it one day flying to Connecticut on U.S. Air, the missing link. So the evolution of silverware is becoming very complete. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of mutants didn't survive. When people found out I was researching the fork and evolution, they sent me all kinds of frauds. I mean, people are trying to get famous, okay? They were hoping for fame and fortune. This is an obvious fork head on a spoon handle. But my trained scientific eye caught it right away. That was a fraud. Of course, a lot of variations of races appeared along the way. Look, you can turn a cat to a cot to a dot to a dog, changing one letter at a time. You can play around with this for a while and turn yourself into a fool if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now they tell the kids dinosaurs turned to birds. The Bible says the birds are made on the fifth day, reptiles made on the sixth day. You know, everything about the evolution theory is backwards to the Bible. Every single thing is backwards. Bible says man brought death into the world. Evolution says death brought man into the world. Bible says God created man. Evolution says man created God. It could not be more opposite. This guy says, scientists, dinosaurs are alive as birds, scientist says. Ooh, wow, scientist says. Well, that's proof of something, isn't it? That's stupid, okay? Dinosaurs are not alive as birds, okay? Textbook says, birds are the descendants of dinosaurs. You know, all you got to do is put a few feathers on them and give them a shove, man. It's not that hard. Man. They say Archaeopteryx is proof of evolution. Archaeopteryx is the missing link. Yes, boys and girls, there it is, the missing link. Archaeopteryx is a bird. A 100% bird, a perching bird. Now, textbook says, bird feathers evolved from scales that protected the dinosaurs. You think feathers evolved from scales? That's stupid, okay? Feathers are incredibly complex. Scales are folds in the skin. They attach to the skin differently. They develop from different genes on the chromosome. They're both made out of keratin, and that's where the similarity stops. Feathers did not evolve from scales. There's no similarity at all. I like to show this to evolutionists. This is, as far as I know, the world's largest rock group. And I'll say, now, guys, do you think there's any chance that George Washington's face could have appeared on the rock, you know, just by chance? Do you think the wind could have done that with abrasion or exfoliation or thermal expansion of the rock or erosion? I mean, what caused his face to appear on the rock? They'll say, well, that was designed by a guy named Borglum, and he built it. I say, right. Now, I'll say, guys, do you think that George Washington himself, the real person, happened by chance? I say, oh, yeah. I said, wait a minute, you don't think his face could appear on a rock by chance, but you do think his entire complex anatomy, with 50 trillion cells and probably 20 redundant interlocking systems, happened by chance. Are you dumb in any other area? Had to be designed, man. They tell the kids in the textbooks, plants adapted to their environment. Yes, gills are an adaptation to living in water. Oh, why don't they use the word designed? And by the way, how did the fish live before they adapted the gills? Oh, well, you see, for millions of years, they all died. None of them lived. That's stupid, okay? Gills are not an adaptation to living in water. They're designed for living in water. But they don't want to use the word design because then some kid's going to say, who's the designer? They don't want to deal with that question. They somehow think, all you got to do is get the molecules together and add energy and you can make life. Oh, let's try that. Let's put a frog in a blender and turn it on. In a matter of seconds, you will have frognog. You will have all of the molecules required to make a frog in one place. Right? Now you can put it on puree. You can nuke it, microwave it, zap it, hook jumper cables to it. I don't care what you do to it. How long? You can add all the energy you want. How long will it take to reassemble the frog? It's not going to happen, okay? Putting molecules in together and adding energy does not create life. That's stupid, okay? It has to be designed. They say homology proves evolution. I don't think so. Yes, boys and girls, one of the evidence is homologous structures. They'll say, you've got two bones in your wrist, the radius and the ulna. Yeah, look at this. The dolphin has two bones in his flipper. Wow. It says right here in the textbook, these homologous structures provide evidence that these animals evolved from a common ancestor. They do this in all the textbooks all over the country, all over the world, actually. Yes, boys and girls, this is comparative anatomy. Comparative anatomy provides further evidence of evolution. The commonalities suggest that these and other vertebrate animals are all related. They probably evolved from a common ancestor. That's stupid. They probably have a common designer. You know, the same guy designed them all. Not a common ancestor. Then they say we've got evidence from development. Yes, boys and girls, the human embryo, as it grows in the mother, has gill slits, they say. Darwin considered this the best evidence in favor of his theory, made up by a guy named Ernst Haeckel, who called it the biogenetic law. Their phrase back then was ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. In other words, the baby developing in the mother goes through the stages of evolution, fish, amphibian, reptile, mammal, farm, F-A-R-M. Well, the idea that sick mind Freud relied on was the idea that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. What? This textbook says, the presence of fish-like structures in embryos of different species shows these animals evolve from fish and share the basic pattern of fish development. It's as if the embryo retains a memory of its origins and copies them during its development. This is stupid. You say the baby has gills like a fish? Humans do not have gills like a fish, okay? Those little folds of skin develop into bones in the ear and glands in the throat. They never have anything to do with breathing, okay? I've seen folks that have five or six chins and they cannot breathe through any of them but the top one. Those are not gill slits. Ernst Haeckel made up that whole stupid idea in 1869. Anyway, we can skip all this. We won't have time. But, you know, you can't get a high score on the SAT or ACT or college entrance exam. All of the major tests in college, to enter college, you have to answer with evolutionary answers. Or you score lower. Huh, interesting. I got all the 2004 tests and looked at them. They're teaching this all over the place, that the embryo has gills. It's stupid. It was proven wrong in 1875. Get it out of the books. It's not true. This textbook says the humans have an appendix that is vestigial. You don't need it anymore. That's stupid. You need your appendix. It's part of your immune system, okay? If your appendix is taken out, you're going to have a serious problem. Now, sometimes you have to take it out. I understand, okay? It beats dying. But the appendix is required to activate killer B cells in your immune system, just like the thyroid activates killer T cells. If you take your appendix out, you've got a much better chance of getting quite a few diseases. It's not vestigial. Just because you can live without it, so what? You can live without both your legs and both your arms and both your eyes and both your ears also. Doesn't prove you don't need it. This textbook says the whale has a vestigial pelvis. Yes, boys and girls, the whales have a vestigial pelvis and leg bone that serve no purpose. Just imagine whales walking around. It's true. Well, these are the bones they're talking about right there. Just imagine the whale walking around. Almost all whales have these. You know, I have tried to imagine them walking around, and I can't. It says the whale's pelvis is evidence of its evolution from four-legged land-dwelling mammals. That's stupid. Those little bones are anchor points that special muscles attach to that allow the whales to reproduce. Without those special muscles and those special bones, you don't get any more baby whales. We've got in our museum in Florida a 15.5-foot python snakeskin. If you look at the south end of that snakeskin, it's got two little claws attached to little tiny bones that go up inside the snake's body. Come down and see it, Pensacola, Florida. Textbook says these are rudimentary hind legs of a python snake, reduced hind legs. That's stupid. Those little claws are used in mating. Okay, the snake doesn't have any arms, all right? And he can't talk and say, screw it over, honey. This has nothing whatsoever to do with walking on land, all right? It has to do with getting baby snakes. That's stupid, okay? Get that out of the book. Textbook says humans have a tailbone that is of no apparent use. That's stupid. I was in a debate one time, and this atheist said, Hovind, I got proof for evolution. Humans have a tailbone they don't need anymore. I said, Mr. Patterson, I taught biology and anatomy. I happen to know there are 9 little muscles that attach to the tailbone, without which you cannot perform some valuable functions. I won't tell you what they all are, but trust me, you need those muscles. I said, Mr. Patterson, if you believe the tailbone is vestigial, I, Kent Hovind, will pay to have yours removed. Bend over. He did not volunteer. Textbook says the coccyx is the small bone at the end of the human vertebral column. It has no present function, and it's thought to be the remainder of bones that once occupied the long tail of a tree-living ancestor. This is what your kids are being taught in school, folks. Look, I hate to say this, but the problem in the textbooks is not fixable in the short term. Get your kids out. The ship is going down. Get them out. The tailbone is not, you say, I can't afford it. Well, sell the car and get a bike, okay? Sell the house and get a tent, okay? But get them out. Okay, tailbone is not vestigial. This one says, the Colorado River, over millions of years, the Colorado River carved the Grand Canyon from solid rock. Colorado River cut through layer upon layer of rock over millions of years. Well, these two, you guys know what snow lines are here in Denver. The red lines indicate the snow line. There's a ridge in between those lines. The river enters on the far right and flows downhill 270 miles and comes out the other side through the Grand Canyon. If you do a schematic view, it looks like this. The river is 2,800 foot elevation when it enters the canyon. The ground goes up as high as nearly 8,000 feet, 8,500 feet above sea level. A couple things to consider about this. The top of the canyon is higher than the bottom. The river only runs through the bottom. The top is higher than where the river enters the canyon by 4,000 feet. Rivers don't flow uphill. There is no delta. Nobody knows where the mud is that washed out of there. That river did not make that canyon. Grand Canyon's a washed out spillway from a couple of big lakes. So when the textbook says the Colorado River carved it over millions of years, that's stupid. Unless they got a river that flows uphill, doesn't work. Textbook says, boys and girls, the layers of rock are different ages. This one's 70 million years old. They say the layers of rock are different ages. Now, hold on a minute. All over the world, petrified trees are found standing up, connecting these rock layers. If you get petrified trees standing up, connecting a bunch of rock layers, I don't think it's logical to say the layers are different ages. How long does a dead tree stand up around here in Denver before it falls over? You know, 4 or 5 years? No, these layers are not different ages. It's just not possible. That's stupid. Okay, the layers all formed during the flood in the days of Noah. All over the world are bent rock layers. It's pretty hard to bend rock like that. They say the layers are different ages, and yet they're all bent with no fracture marks in the layers. I mean, if one layer was deposited on top of another one, the bottom was going to be hard eventually before the other one. And here we are seeing these twisted, bent rock layers all over the place, and they're trying to tell us the layers are different ages. Well, maybe by a few weeks or months or minutes during a flood. But to say the layers are different ages when there are no internal fracture marks is just plain stupid. They're not different layers. They all formed in the flood in the days of Noah. They got bent while they were soft. This guy says the rocks date the fossils, but the fossils date the rocks more accurately. That's stupid. They teach that the fossils are sorted by how they evolved. You know, clams are found at the bottom because clams evolved first, and birds are found at the top because birds evolved last. Well, moving water sorts things automatically by all sorts of factors, okay? Actually, maybe fossils are sorted based upon their habitat. You know, it could be the clams are found at the bottom because they're already at the bottom when the flood starts. You know, that's where they live. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're sorted based upon intelligence. As far as anybody can figure out, clams aren't too bright. Maybe they're sorted based upon mobility. Did you know clams can't run very fast? Maybe they're sorted based upon body density. Maybe it's a combination of all those. Don't tell me they're sorted by evolutionary process. That's stupid. They look at erosion marks like a Bryce Canyon and say, oh yeah, it took millions of years. See all that erosion? Wow. Millions of years of erosion. Oh, wait a minute. That's a pile of dirt in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Here's millions of years of erosion along a highway built a few months ago. Ancient seabed. Look at all that, you know. Buttes sticking up there and pillars and columns. Oh, millions and millions of years of erosion. All you got to do is fly out west and look out the window of the airplane once in a while and you'll see huge erosion marks all over the place. You know, the very simplest things could not evolve. It's an excellent, very simple book. So cute. We sell it in our ministry called Exploding the Big Bang, Could a Box Evolve? Could just a cardboard box evolve? And there's a whole chapter explaining how cardboard boxes are made. Is it possible that a cardboard box could evolve? How about an ink pen? How about a paper clip? Just take some simple objects and shows how dumb it is to think that a human body could evolve. But the textbook says all the many forms of life on Earth today are descended from a common ancestor found in a population of primitive unicellular organisms. We all evolve from a bacteria. That's stupid. The blue whale grows to 49 tons in 1 year. That's a growth rate of 330 billion times from what it started. If humans did that, you'd weigh a lot. Blue whales slowly tried to evolve this ability over millions of years. None of them survived, of course. They all died. Blue whale evolved from a bacteria. That's stupid. Okay? The seahorse, the only fish that swims in the upright position, and the male hatches the eggs. Interesting. Where did this evolve from? Who's its ancestor? This evolved from a bacteria. That's stupid, I think. Sperm whale can dive 10,000 feet. Stay there for 2 hours underwater. You know the pressure at 10,000 feet is 620,000 pounds per square foot. As the sperm whale slowly tried to evolve this ability over millions of years, none of them survived. They all died. The whale? Sperm whale evolved from a bacteria? I'm sorry, folks. That's just stupid, okay? The platypus. Where did it evolve from? It has hair, lays eggs, senses electrical signals in its prey's muscles. When the crawdads are trying to crawl away from this thing, the muscles contract. This thing can sense the muscle contraction in the crawdad. Bats, with their echolocation, can sense a moth and go pick it out of the air, but the moth can hear the echolocation and drop. How did the moth evolve that? How did the bat evolve the echolocation? The platypus evolved from bacteria? It's just stupid, okay? Bottlenose whale can dive 3,000 feet down in 2 minutes. Try that. Watch what happens to your eardrums. A human attempting this would have multiple medical problems and die almost instantly. This evolved from bacteria? I'm sorry, that's stupid. Rhinoceros beetle can carry 850 times its own weight. That's like me carrying 17,000 pounds. What did this evolve from? Who's its ancestor? Do you think it evolved from bacteria? I'm sorry, I think that's stupid. You can believe that if you want, but don't call it science, okay? The giraffe has a 2-foot heart that pumps blood up 10 feet. Then when it bends down to get a drink, it's got a special blood cushion to absorb the shock of all this pressure being pushed down to its brain. The giraffe is getting a drink. He hears a lion roar. He throws his head up in the air 17 feet and runs off. Go from 0 to 17 feet in about a quarter second, and you try to run off and see what happens. You take about 3 steps and fall over. Did it evolve from a bacteria? I don't think so. The woodpecker has a tongue that goes in the back of his head, goes all the way around, anchors in his left nostril. No other bird has a tongue anything close to the woodpecker's tongue. What did it evolve from? Who's its ancestor? It has shock absorbers around its brain to absorb the shock. The woodpecker can peck the tree, back its head out, open its eyes, focus on the tree, close its eyes, and peck again. If it had its eyes open when it pecked, its eyeballs would pop out. It can open its eyes, focus, close them, and peck, like, what, 40 times a second? Where did it evolve from? Well, from a bacteria. I think that's stupid, okay? The beaver, amazing animal, has its teeth that the outside is hard, the backs, the inside of the teeth are soft. Every time they chew, they wear off the inside of the teeth, which means the outside is always sharp. Self-sharpening teeth. Pretty slick. It's an engineer of amazing ability. The beaver can cut down a tree limb and swim across a river. Here he is carrying something with a heavy drag. He's swimming. He's compensating to know that he ends up in the right spot without being carried downstream by the extra drag of this branch. Now, for millions of years, they all got washed downstream and died. None of them survived. Yeah. Came from bacteria. I just think that's stupid, okay? The golden plover goes to Alaska, lays its eggs, puts on 70 grams of fat, raises them up to Hawaii. So they fly in V formation, and they're always switching who's the leader. The leader takes the brunt of the airflow. All the rest of them save enough energy that they land in Hawaii using only 70 grams of fat. Several weeks later, the babies take off from Alaska and fly to Hawaii. They've never been there. Where did it evolve from? How did it make it? Fall from a bacteria. I think that's stupid. Okay, I think it was design. Dragonfly is the most amazing insect on the planet, I think. They have the best eyes of any insect. They have up to 30,000 eye lenses. They can see almost all directions. They can fly frontwards and backwards. They can fly 20 miles an hour. They spend a year and a half, 2 years as a larva. Then they develop into adults. Just study the dragonfly. It'll blow your mind. They fall from a bacteria. I think that's stupid. Okay. Then they talk about carbon dating as proof for evolution. Well, when they first invented it in 1949, The lower leg of a mammoth dated 15,000 years old, but the skin was 21,000. It's not working, okay? 1963, living mollusk shells dated 2,300 years old. Still not working. 1970, they said, if a carbon date supports our theories, we put it in the main text. If it is not entirely contradictory, we put it in a footnote. If it's completely out of date, we drop it. They pick the dates they want. 1971, freshly killed seal, carbon dated 1,300 years old. It's not working. 1975, one part of a mammoth is 40,000 years old, another part's 26,000. You talk about a slow birth. And we could spend all day on carbon dating. Living snails, carbon date 27,000 years old. It just doesn't work, okay? You can go all through history, it doesn't work. This guy says, in the last 2 years, an absolute date was obtained for the Gandong beds. It has the interesting value of 300,000 years, plus or minus 300,000 years. That's stupid, okay? Not only is the theory stupid, it's dangerous. Charlie Darwin said, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. If evolution is true, has one type of man evolved farther than the rest? Henry Fairfield Osborne said, the standard average intelligence of the average adult Negro is similar to the 11-year-old youth of the species Homo sapien. You mean Negroes are not Homo sapien, Henry? That's stupid, okay? Thomas Huxley said, no rational man, cognizant of the facts, believes the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior, of the white man. That's stupid. The Mormons teach that the Negroes don't have, they used to teach anyway, that they could not be saved. They were cursed with the curse of Cain. That's stupid. Ernst Haeckel said the mental life of savages rises little above the higher animals, especially the apes, with which they are genealogically connected. Their intelligence moves within the narrowest bounds, and one can no more or no less speak of their reason than that of the more intelligent animals. These lower races, such as the Vedas or Australian Negroes, are psychologically nearer to the mammals, apes or dogs, than to civilized Europeans. We must, therefore, assign a totally different value to their lives. That's stupid and dangerous. But if you've seen the movie Quigley Down Under, where they called Quigley Down to come shoot the Aborigines, that's exactly what was happening. They were killing Aborigines. They thought the Australian Negroes were inferior. These two folks went down there to collect skulls from museums. Article right here says, the New South Wales missionary was a horrified witness to the slaughter by mounted police of a group of dozens of Aboriginal men, women, children. 45 heads were boiled down, the best 10 skulls packed off for overseas. They killed them to get their heads for museums to show evolution. 1904, World's Fair was held in St. Louis. 2,000 primitive people were put on display to show evolution, how that the pygmies slowly evolved to the modern white man. Otobenga was taken away from his wife and two kids and put in a cage with chimpanzees. He was a pygmy from Africa. He went insane and killed himself. Theodore Roosevelt thought the Indians were an inferior species because he thought they hadn't evolved as far. You won't understand what happened to the Indians until you realize what happened with the evolution theory teaching this stuff, that some of the races are more important than others. Roosevelt said, I wish the wrong people could be prevented entirely from breeding. He thought the Indians, the immigrants from Europe, Scotland, Ireland, or the Orient, were a threat to American society because they were inferior. How many of you have ancestors from one of those places? See, you're inferior. Yeah. 1871, Congress scrapped all treaties with the Indians because they thought, you know, they're just animals, that they hadn't evolved as far. You've got to read about the Trail of Tears. Of course, evolution came out way before 1859 with Darwin's book. Darwin just made it popular. It's stupid to teach that Indians or anybody else is inferior. Comrade Stalin went to a Christian school as a kid. He read Darwin's book and became an atheist. Darwin's book changed his life forever. Comrade Stalin killed between 60 and 100 million of his own people. You ought to read any of the books by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Somebody gave me one once. Said, well, Hovind, you got to read this book, The Gulag Archipelago. I said, man, this thing's 900 pages. He said, well, just read the first five. I said, okay. 3 days later, I finally got to go to bed. I said, man, that was an awesome book. I couldn't put it down. Stupid to say that somebody's inferior because of their skin color or something else. During World War II, the Germans were overran Poland from one side. The Russians overran them from the other side. They captured all the Polish officers and executed them. The Russians finally admitted this, that 14,700 Polish officers were executed at one forest. They put hoods over their head and shot them in the back of the head because they thought they were Poles. They were inferior. That's stupid and dangerous. Pol Pot, the leader of Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge, killed a third of his entire population because he thought he was trying to speed up the process of evolution. That's stupid. Read about the killing fields or Khmer Rouge, what happened over there. When Mao Zedong took over China, they killed 60 million people when he took over China. He wanted to speed up the evolution process. It's stupid, folks. Adolf Hitler's mind was captivated by evolutionary thinking, probably since he was a boy. Evolutionary ideas lie at the basis of all that is worst in Mein Kampf. Hitler thought the Jews were criminals because they were breathing air and drinking water and eating food that belonged to the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryans. He said, nature does not desire the mating of weaker with stronger individuals, even less does she desire the blending of a higher with a lower race. Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, talks about racial crossing all over the place. Higher races. Who's a higher race, Adolf? Hitler thought the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Norwegians were close to pure Aryan. Did you get all that? The blonde-haired, blue-eyed Norwegian. Vore den store til I dag. Ja, sho, hey there, fella. Oofta. And he thought the Germans were mostly Aryan. The Mediterranean are slightly Aryan. The Slavics are half Aryan, half ape. Orientals are slightly ape. Black Africans are mostly ape. And Jews are close to pure ape. That's the list Hitler was working off of. He hated the Jews. He also hated the blacks. Olympics were held in 1936 in Germany. Jesse Owens, the black American athlete, won the most gold medals. Hitler said, it's not right to make my men race against this animal. Well, Hitler, that's stupid. He's as much a man as you are, probably more. Textbook says you're an animal. Kids, don't you buy that for a second. That's stupid. You're not an animal. I've seen some look like it, okay? I've seen some act like it. You're not just an animal. You're made in God's image. You're going to answer to God one of these days for everything you've ever said or thought or done. Arthur Keith said, evolution is unproved and unprovable. We believe it because the only alternative is special creation, and that is unthinkable. We don't want to believe this theory. Well, that's a stupid reason to go to hell, because you don't like the theory of that God might have made the world. Julian Huxley said, I suppose the reason we leapt at the origin of species was the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores. That's stupid. The Bible says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. That's dangerous. But can you imagine if God gave up on you? Wow. Maybe you're here today. Somebody dragged you here and said, oh, you got to come to this meeting. I want you to come. And you believe you came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago because that's what you've been taught in school. God is not willing that any should perish. But to accept the idea that you came from a rock and to reject the idea that God created this world, it is stupid, okay? I'm sorry. There's no kind way to say it. The Bible says God cannot lie. He promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's smart. What? That's the deal of the century. The deal of a lifetime. God says, here, I'll take all your sins, throw them as far as east is from the west, and I'll give you my righteousness on your account. On account of, you don't have any. That's what I did 35 years ago, 36 years ago. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. He said, you can say that again. I said, Lord, I deserve to go to hell. He said, you can say that again too. I said, but Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me based on what Jesus did. Wow, he did. They do the same for you. Let's summarize here. God made this world. He owns it. He makes the rules. And we're guilty of breaking his rules. He told us pretty clearly, don't lie. We've all lied. Don't steal. We've stolen. You can read the whole list and find out we're guilty. We're going to have to be punished. Or find a substitute. And that's where Jesus comes in. 35, 36 years ago, I asked the Lord to come in my heart and save me. What if you died today? Where would you go? If you're not sure you're saved, you ought to think about it. You're going to be dead for a long time. I mean, a really, really long time. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, I think it's stupid to get out on that highway. Have you seen the way they drive here in Colorado? Man, you have got some rednecks moved out west here, folks. I'm telling you what. I'm going to die someday. I'm going to try to make it the last thing I do, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen to you, too. All you get is that little bitty dash between two dates. My recommendation would be you take your little dash and say, Lord, you can have it. You can do something with it. What are you doing with your little dash? The guy who's third in the nation got in racing motorcycles got saved in my seminar. He came to next year when I was preaching up there in Connecticut. He said, hey, Brother Hovind, I'm so excited. It's great living for the Lord. He said, let me take you to breakfast tomorrow. I said, that'd be great. He said, I'll bring one of my bikes. You can test drive it. I said, okay. I've got a Honda 250. He brought his Honda 900 that had been blueprinted and stroked and bored and balanced, and I'm not sure what all they did to it. But it was not your normal Honda 900. He said, try it out, Brother Hovind. I said, okay. I took it off in first gear. Boom! Just about broke my neck. I hit second gear. Boom! I was just about to drop it into third when I glanced down and realized I am going 90 miles an hour in second gear. It has six gears. I brought it back. I was shaking like a leaf. I said, how fast does it go? He said, I don't know. But guess what he wants? A faster bike. Hey, the people that have 80 pairs of shoes in their closet, you know what they want? More shoes. People that have a big house, guess what they want? A bigger house. People that shoot the 10-point buck, guess what they want? They want to shoot a 12-point. People that have $1 million in the bank, guess what they want? More. It takes us a whole lifetime to figure out things here aren't going to satisfy. They just aren't. I'll tell you one thing I found that satisfies. Give your little dash to Jesus. Say, do something with this. You can have it. One little boy came to Jesus one day and said, Jesus, you look like you're hungry. You've been out here preaching all day. You can have my sack lunch. I ain't got much. I only got five biscuits and two fish sticks. Jesus said, well, son, I can have the whole thing. He said, yeah. He said, well, son, sit down right there. Watch this. Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women plus children out of that one little boy's lunch, including that little boy. That's pretty cool. He could have kept his lunch and fed himself. But he decided to give it away. And he still fed himself. And 20,000 more people. Plus brought home 12 baskets full of fragments. You just can't beat a deal like that. Now, you can save your little life and use it for yourself if you want. That's your prerogative. I don't care what you do. You can work hard and make a bunch of money and die rich. Okay. You're going to die either way. Or you can give your little dash to Jesus. Say, Lord, would you do something with this? Some of you need to start a ministry. I'll tell you what, Denver needs a creation museum. Go to visit Red Rock Amphitheater. I went up there one day and there's all these dinosaur footprints on the hillside. How many have been up there, Red Rock Amphitheater? You know the dinosaur footprints? I stopped up there looking at these dinosaur footprints on the hillside, and this old man was standing up there. He's looking at them, you know. Pretty soon a school bus stopped. And a bunch of kids got out. And this old man walked over and said, hey, boys and girls, I'm a member of the club called Friends of the Dinosaurs. Let me tell you about these dinosaur footprints. He said, millions of years ago, dinosaurs were walking along the beach, and they left their footprints, and they hardened. And then over millions and millions of years, the mountains lifted up, and now the footprints are at an angle like that. After the kids got on the bus and left, I said, hey, do you own this property? He said, no. I said, well, who does? He said, well, this is state property. I said, now, do you get paid to do this, to give these tours to the kids? He said, no, I just volunteer my time. I said, so you don't own the property, and you just volunteer to do this? He said, yeah. I said, okay. Next school bus stopped. I was a little younger and could run a little faster. And I got there first. Hey, boys and girls, let me tell you about these footprints. About 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. The whole world was in panic. Noah had all the critters safe on the ark, but the rest of the world, it was disaster. And some dinosaurs were running, trying to get away from the flood. And these footprints got covered up with mud and preserved. And then during the last part of the flood, the Bible says in Psalm 104, the mountains arose, the valleys sank down, the water rushed off. And these mountains formed about 4,400 years ago in the flood. That guy was so angry. I thought he was going to have a heart attack. I know CPR, but I thought, you know. If you're a Christian, what on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake? Everybody ought to find something to do. People say, Hovind, did God call you to start a ministry on creation? I don't know. I never got a letter or a phone call. It just needs to be done. Now, kids, you go to sleep. You won't understand this. Kids, you may go to sleep. Parents, you'll understand. You know, mom can wash the clothes, dry them, fold them, and set them by the bedroom door. The kid comes in and doesn't even see them. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, come on. Didn't you see those clothes? Uh-oh. I think God's up in heaven looking down at some of his kids, maybe some in this room. Can't you find something to do for my kingdom? You know, witness to somebody. Give them a gospel tract. You say, oh, I don't want to drive them off. What are you going to drive them off to? Hell number two? Find something to do. If we can help any way we can, that's what we're here for. Thank you so much. Dismissed.
This has been part two of 100 Scientific Reasons Evolution is Stupid, presented by Kent Hovind.